This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Top of Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Hunsinger at Thunder Chats. We're part of the B-League Network, and this podcast is brought to you by betonline.ag. A lot of fun things have happened for Thunder fans in the last couple weeks. Tierney, shout out Tierney, Cohen, and Alex hopping on Moments Notice yesterday for the live stream reaction. Y'all killed it on that. But, we've got some fun things to talk about. We've got some guests that have some insight on the moves the Thunder have made in the past couple weeks. And, I kind of alluded to Tierney's here. If you guys are on audio, Tierney, how you doing, brother?
I'm great. Been a crazy day. I'm trying to scarf down pizza right before. It's been a hectic day. Getting it done though. I'm super excited though. We've had these guys on before, but kind of a perfect set of guests today after with the Thunder off season. And then also, draft connoisseurs. So I'm just excited to kind of get into it with those guys.
Yeah. And without further ado, let's get into it. So joining us today, I'm just kidding. I didn't know I was going to be on the podcast today. I don't have an elaborate intro prepared. I'm sorry, guys. It's not draft season. I'm in off season form. So, but we are very excited to have Corey and Albert. Corey is obviously, he was on the pod during the draft cycle, but we was missing Albert this time. He was very busy during the draft cycle, as everybody else was. But Albert's got great takes, and he never fails to make us laugh. He's got some of the best humor in all of the draft community. So, always a pleasure to have you guys. How you guys doing?
Amazing. Doing very well, man. Happy to be here.
I actually want to say I'm actually not happy to be here with the offseason that the Thunder are having and the impact it's had on my team as a Knicks fan. So I'm doing this straight out of love for you guys and nothing else.
Your offseason's doing just fine.
True.
Yeah. You guys
did all right.
Yeah. It's funny because, So, you know, I was talking to, you know, some of the NoSeemos guys, because obviously Nikola Topic was a guy that we drafted. And I was like, you know, who are the guys that was highest on him? I want to like hear from them. And they said Rowan was the highest, and, you know, we hadn't talked to Rowan yet. So I figured, you know, that'd be another pod for another cycle. And then they say Corey's next highest. I was like, cool, let's get Corey. Albert wasn't on the draft cycle. Let's bring them both in. And we had just planned to talk draft. And then, of course, the Caruso trade happened. Corey, huge Bulls fan. And then, lo and behold, the Thunder.
At this point, maybe
it's not stepping its bounds.
The Bulls signed Jalen Smith is the most exciting move they've made. So huge is maybe a...
Pretty good.
We're testing the how hard and the diehard fandom in Corey's cycle right now. But, you know, also, we signed Isaiah Hartenstein, and Albert, I assume, still a diehard New York Knicks fan.
All my life. And I hate it. We'll talk about it. But that's the part of our conversation that I'll be very sad about.
Well, I mean, hey, if you want to rip off the Band-Aid, we'll start with you, man. I mean, it's the freshest news. You know, it's fresh on our mind. I mean, you know, we heard a lot from Corey in the draft cycle. We didn't get to hear from you. So, like, let's get right into it, man. Thunder signed Isaiah Hartenstein. Obviously, as we alluded to, you guys had a really good offseason already, you know, making the trade from Mikal Bridges, the Nova 4 on top of OG and Anobi re-signing as well. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You had to lose somebody. What's Isaiah Hartenstein bring to the Thunder?
Oh, like you said, I think for us with the Bridges trade, it kind of threw everything into flux. We weren't sure what the roster was going to look like. Hartenstein was a huge, absolutely vital cog of our team. It was really hard to see him leave, especially like we bought him on the low a couple years back. We got him really cheap, 2-year contract. I think overall, our fan base, the expectations were pretty low when we brought him on. It was kind of like, okay, we got this guy who's a backup. He's kind of been like a career journeyman until this point. Still young. We'll give him a shot. Turned out that, you know, he was just the perfect fit with the roster. You know, he was an unbelievable pick and roll partner. Well, to start, you know, he's really good coming off the bench. Gave us great minutes for, you know, whenever Mitchell Robinson was out of gas and needed a break. And he was really good there. And then, you know, last season when Robinson got hurt, that kind of pushed Hartenstein into the starting lineup. And when that happened, you know, it was pretty, I mean, a lot of our fan base actually thought like, okay, we kind of have an improvement here, right? Because what Isaiah was able to provide on both ends of the floor was a little bit different from what Mitchell Robinson was doing, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we speak specifically to your context for the OKC Thunder, I've seen some tweets out there on the internet, right? On X, on Twitter, whatever you call it nowadays, right? I've seen some tweets about people being concerned, like, oh, you know, like, how's he going to be next to Chet? And I'm like, well, I think he'll be just fine, is my take. I hope that's not a hot one. If we get into his game a little bit, Hartenstein's such a damn good screener. We could start on offense. He's such a good screener, and I think he's going to be a great pick-and-roll partner with Shea. The thing with Hartenstein that is interesting is that he could do a little playmaking out of the short roll. He's a guy that you can have him stand at the elbow, throw it into him, and he can, you know, you can run some actions off of him. He is that good of a passer. And then, of course, obviously, his activity and expertise on the offensive boards, just incredible. Just he works so damn hard to try and go get every single freaking offensive board. And then, of course, he's got that little runner in the lane, which was really valuable as well, especially, you know, if you run, you know, have him do some short roll action. The fact that he has that in his bag, I think, is huge. Defensively with Hartenstein, he's not a huge shot blocker. Not to say that he can't block shots, but he wasn't as good as like a Mitchell Robinson was. But the thing with him is he's so strong. He moves his feet well. He's got great length. He's tough. And that's the thing that I haven't seen a lot of people talk about with Hartenstein, is that he's really, really tough. And he brings this like spirit of toughness to the team that I think, not that, you know, OKC was lacking in that, but you now have like this interior presence that is not only gigantic and strong, but he has just that spirit of toughness that I think will add a lot. And obviously, you know, we've talked about OKC, they did struggle a little bit on the boards. And so bringing Hartenstein in, and I've also seen some people like talk about his numbers, like his averages, whatever. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about the averages. As I mentioned, he used to come off the bench and then, you know, he started, you know, towards the end of the year, like halfway through maybe. So his overall numbers are going to be just fine. And I think the fit is going to be fine. And so it hurts. You know, you guys gave him a big old contract that he couldn't say no to, considering he hadn't made a lot of money in his career. And I think it, whatever concerns people might have, I think you just got to give him a shot, and he's going to prove himself, because he walked into New York and the New York Knicks, and there were low expectations. People didn't know what to do, and he clearly exceeded all those expectations. And I wish him the best, and I think he's going to be able to exceed all those expectations for the Thunder as well.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, Tierney, I hate to jump in. You guys talked a long time about Hartenstein. I didn't really kind of like, you know, get to chime in a little bit. Because, you know, my phone was being so stupid. It ended the stream and everything. Like, it was terrible. But, I mean, everything you said, man, like, just lines up perfectly with, like, kind of what I was thinking. The thing defensively that was, like, really impressive that you don't know unless you dive into the numbers is, like, from a defensive field goal percentage, he was sixth in the league, 6 feet from the rim. So like he's right there with like one of like the top like rim defenders. And you talked about him not being like a great shot blocker. I remember in Steven Adams' book, he talked about his block numbers going down, and it was because he was starting to be in position, you know, to a better position to defend, to where, you know, they're not you know, putting up a shot, like kind of like, you know, a wide receiver, like they're not getting the ball thrown to them because they're playing good enough defense. Like you're not getting interceptions because they're not throwing the ball to you.
Right.
So I would you say that's why like Hartenstein doesn't have like gaudy shot blocking numbers, or am I off base?
No, absolutely. I think my point was not that, you know, he's not a good rim deterrent. It's just he won't ever put up like huge numbers in terms of block shots. But the biggest thing with him, he played at like an all NBA defensive level, was how good he was, and was a huge part of the Knicks' success last season. And I mean, of course, like if Mitch doesn't get hurt, maybe he doesn't have the same opportunity to shine like he did. So it was a perfect kind of storm for him, where he, you know, he got the big platform to shine and was unbelievable for us, and then now he gets the big contract for you guys. But yeah, to your point, he's just a really, really smart team defender, knows how to get to the right spots, and he's just really active, mobile, really vocal, talks a lot on that side as well. So just so much to like with him.
Yep, for sure.
I think a big big thing I wanted to know your opinion on, because obviously you know when Chet was in the draft, you guys scouted him a lot, and I'm curious because a lot of Thunder fans are thinking with the big pay, everyone's expecting him to be the starting rotation. And I think to what you were saying, he fits with Chet. Like he can be the five and Chet can be the four. I think our pucks and a few others are still really wanting Chet to be the five. So the question then becomes like, how much are you staggering him and Chet? Because I think where everyone's sort of landing is like, well, we can start him, but then Hartenstein comes out pretty quick, and then you sort of stagger Chet and Hart's minutes a little bit. Like on the spectrum of, you know, they play, you know, let's say 15 minutes together versus like maybe 5 to 10 minutes together. Where do you fall in like how much they should be playing together versus how much you should stagger them?
I think they can play together. I think fans are just perpetually sleeping on him. Like he was also sick on the Clippers, and I was shocked by how low of a contract he got when he signed with the Knicks. Like he's just been good for a long time. I mean, as far as Chet goes, part of the appeal with Chet is that he is a unicorn. Like he can play wherever, whenever, with whoever. He played with Drew Timmy at Gonzaga, who was strictly a post-up big man, right? And like was wildly good, like one of the better prospects that we've seen over the last 15 to 20 years. So he can play with Hartenstein. And then here's kind of an underrated thing that I'm interested to see. You know that he was kind of looked at as a shooter coming out of the draft.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like that hasn't been a part of his game in the NBA, but that was like, oh, lefty shooter from Germany. Like, and this is coming off the tail of like when Dirk is still, you know, a big influence on foreign big men who could shoot. Obviously being of German descent, maybe heightened that a little bit, but he was shooting the ball, like coming, like, I'm wondering if because OKC wants to play five out, if that's a part of the game that they try to unlock, but whether they do or they don't, like I think you guys are going to be wildly surprised by how good this dude is. And like, he is not going to inhibit minutes with Chet and Hartenstein on the floor at the same time. And if anything, I think it's going to show that like some of the numbers that reflect how good Chet was as a five this year are because the Thunder didn't have any options to play that position when he wasn't on the court. So like, I think those numbers at Chet at the four are going to look wildly different this year when he's sharing the floor with him, because this dude is really, really good. He's at less than a little bit less than 20% of the cap right now, while Chet and Jalen are on their rookie deals for the next few years. Like, this is an incredible contract for a fantastic player who's not super sexy and isn't going to be like, oh, he's a our third star, but might be the guy that pushes you into legitimate like championship range. So personally, I think they can play together, and it's going to be kind of a beautiful pairing.
Just to really quickly piggyback off of what Corey said, the thing with Hartenstein is like his first season with us, he did take some threes when he was coming off the bench. And I think Tibbs was just like, you know what? Let's not do this. And they kind of just like completely pulled it out of his game. But I agree with Corey because it was a part of his game. And so maybe this is a thing where he goes to OKC, right? Different coaching staff, different situation. Maybe, you know, Dagnall goes, you know, we're gonna give you more opportunities to take the threes and, you know, open up your game a little bit. And once again, like the thing with Hartenstein is if he starts taking threes, his processing stuff, like that 0.5 basketball that he's able to play with his passing, is so great. I think all that just gets elevated if he can add that outside jumper that he used to have. So we'll see. You know, he did play a little bit of a simplified role with the Knicks, and he just absolutely flourished in it. But you could see him maybe play a slightly different role with OKC. And once again, like I could definitely see that working with Chet once again.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, with all you were saying about the three-point shooting, like add to that, we have Chip England. So like any issues that he has that maybe needs to iron out, like I see a lot of things like whenever somebody has like an issue shooting is like, you know, they're pushing their thumb on their guide hand. Like I see that's like an issue a lot of times. Maybe that could be something, you know, just eliminate that over the offseason. And, you know, you've got a, you know, not a 40% three-point shooter on like crazy volume, but like if he's on like 36, 37%, like a couple attempts a game, like, I mean, that's better than what he was doing. So like I'm 100% on board with that. Defensively, like, yeah, I don't know. I've heard compelling cases for both sides about like him starting, him like just being like this guy that can come off the bench, can close games if you need to, can, you know, kind of be a spot starter, what have you. I think the bottom line and most important thing is the idea is that at one point in the game or another, Chet Holmgren or Isaiah Hartenstein is going to be on the floor, and you're going to have 48 minutes of elite rim protection, you know, one way or another, whether it's the shot blocking threat of Chet Holmgren or just the positional like rim deterrent defense of Isaiah Hartenstein. So yeah, Thunder fans are very excited. And I mean, you've done nothing to deter that excitement, Albert. I got to ask you, you know, as a Knicks fan, like what's your backup plan? Are you guys planning on paying Precious, or like what you doing?
I think a lot is up in the air right now. Something that was kind of tweeted out today as an option is the Knicks potentially going hunting for a Walker Kessler or a Nick Richards. I think those are really enticing options. Obviously, Walker Kessler, a guy who's still pretty, you know, new to the league, but a guy who was ridiculously productive in his rookie season. Maybe tailed off a little bit last year, but with him, he's still gigantic. And there's a lot of good things that he can offer on the basketball court with his, you know, rebounding and block shots and all that stuff. So, I think those are the two options that they're looking at. Obviously, Precious is still on the table as well. It looks like Mo Wagner went back to the Magic today, so that's off the table. So I think, you know, in terms of free agency, I don't think there are a lot of options that the Knicks are looking at. I could be wrong, but it was tweeted out today. It was reported by, I think it was Mike Scotto, something like that. But that, you know, they're potentially looking at some trade possibilities. So we shall see. Yeah.
If only there was a Villanova big man somewhere in the league that you guys could.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Require, you could have the Nova 5.
That'd be fun. That would have been fun.
All right, we're going to jump to Corey and talk Alex Caruso right after word from these sponsors.
What's going on, Thunder fans? It's your boy Dylan at Thunder Chats coming to you with another message from our presenting sponsor, BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Just head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, that is capital letters BLEAV, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit of up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here.
And we are back after word from our sponsors. We're talking with Albert Gim and Corey Tulliba of No Ceilings. We're going to be talking draft, but right now we're talking about their favorite teams. Kind of questionable, Corey, at the time with the Chicago Bulls, but hey, Josh Giddey, Alex Caruso, swap, Corey. How'd you feel about the trade?
Yeah, I know earlier I went pessimistic. I actually think the Bulls are having a really good offseason, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I know that Josh Giddey isn't exactly the most popular guy in the NBA for whatever reason you'd like to talk about, and we don't need to talk about all of them, but I still think that he's like a really good young prospect, you know, who's what, how old is he, 21, 22, something like that, right?
Maybe,
like,
maybe 22. Thank
you. Yeah, like, you know, like, so he's a super young guy who's been really productive and most importantly is probably not good enough to lead you to a ton of wins by himself. So from the Bulls perspective, you know, I think job well done. They got Jalen Smith. It was great. I mean, as far as Alex Caruso, yeah, you could have traded him for a number of picks, but like, I don't know, Josh Giddey's probably going to be better than the 23rd pick or whatever, you know, it equates to. So I think value wise, picks are sexy, you know, for the mystery of it. But at the end of the day, like, I think getting a player who you actually see has a real NBA talent is probably worthwhile, even if, you know, the shooting is questionable and he had issues in the playoffs, but he's still young enough to get better. But Caruso is, you know, he's a phenomenal player, man. Like, you know, there's no surprise that he's being compared to, you know, a Derek White type trade, right? Like, he's that kind of level of role player. I mean, defensively, like, you can make an argument that he's the best on ball, you know, guard defender in the league. Like, you can make that argument. Obviously there are other guys in the argument with him, but like, he's just truly an unbelievable on ball defender. He's a fantastic off ball defender. He's a guy who is just like legitimately crazy athletic and strong. I think his strength is something that goes really underrated, and it's something that allows him to guard up. You don't have to switch him when, you know, you get a four on him. Like, you know, I think he's probably going to be playing a lot of like power forward slash center type role. Like, not guarding them, but like offensively, like, yeah. Because Chet can space, like, you're probably going to see a lot of like Caruso screening and rolling, operating out of the short role, using those guard skills then to like either get to the rim or kick out, which is, you know, kind of what the Celtics did with Drew and Derek White. Like, they use them in these unique ways, and Caruso offers a lot of those same strengths. You know, he shot really, really well last year from three, but I think that, you know, I don't want to say it's like an outlier year. I think he's like a good shooter, but like, I wouldn't say that he's somebody that every time he shot it, I was like, that's going in, you know, because there are definitely times where it feels a little bit up and down. But I think the looks that he's going to get in the Thunder offense with, you know, he got pretty good looks playing off of DeRozan and whatnot. So it's not like, you know, had guys draped all over him anyway, but he's like a good shooter, but maybe not the guy you would like shooting the last shot of the game. You know what I mean? Like he'll be fine, but it's nothing. He's not Isaiah Joe, right? He's not like a sniper, but just what he does as a role player, filling in the gaps, he can truly do whatever it is that you need him to do. And he'll guard whoever it is you need him to guard. He's a genius level defensive player, on ball, off ball, all of that. That's what he is. His big thing is like, he's not super durable. You know, he's in and out of the lineup. He's not reliable in that sense to where, you know, that he's going to be there every single night. Maybe in this situation, he is that player. Maybe there's less, I don't know, that he has to do less because he has other guys. Like, he doesn't have Nick Vucevic behind him. He's got Chet Holmgren and Hartenstein. But at the end of the day, like, he's just a guy who plays so hard at all times that part of him being injury prone is the fact that he's just sacrificing his body always. So in that way, he will undoubtedly, like, you know, just absolutely steal the hearts of the entire fan base. But, there also is some risk because you don't know if he's going to be there in the most important, you know, spots when it's time for the playoffs over the course of an 82 game season. So if he's there, though, like, he's undoubtedly a championship level top 5 to 7 rotation player. And, you know, like, those are hard to come by, and he's on a cheap deal still. So, you know, like, getting guys like that, trading for players like Alex Caruso and having, you know, I know that Presti said that the only reason he traded Giddey was because he wasn't happy coming off the bench, but like, having the wherewithal and to actually make a move and trade your young assets while you can still get a player like this is, you know, just really slick and smart management. So he's going to be that kind of Derek White level trade piece, you know, who just fills in the gaps. You know, Derek White, obviously much better reliable shooter in my opinion. But Alex Caruso still, like, spot up situations. He's going to be able to, you know, draw closeouts. He's a good passer. He's smart. He's going to be great. It's as simple as that. He's again, another not so sexy move, but like, it really, if there's a parade in Oklahoma City, it'll be, you know, pretty sexy then. So he's phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. And I loved everything you were saying about, you know, obviously, like, you kind of brought us back down to earth on shooting. You know, a lot of people kind of like get sucked into like that over 40% shooting from last year. And it, to me, like, he doesn't have to shoot 40% from three. He just has to provide more gravity than Josh Giddey was. Because even when Josh Giddey had that like month and a half stretch where he was hitting 40% from three, whenever he hit 4 or 5 threes against the Pelicans, teams weren't guarding him any differently. Like, they were helping off of him. Whenever you had like shot blockers like that, they were throwing the shot blockers on him and clogging up the lane for Shea and Jalen Williams. And, you know, Shea is like a phenomenal player. Like, he's going to, you know, find ways to work around it. But you saw how it kind of started to get to double a little bit in the playoffs, specifically in the Mavericks series. And, you know, I expect better things from Dub, obviously, you know, another year of learning and, you know, like, just getting in the gym and grinding. Like, I think he's going to have a huge leap. But Caruso, you know, providing that spacing is going to help out a lot. And I love what you said about him screening, because that was one thing that shout out Thunder Film Room, our guy, Yosef, he talked about how one of the things that Caruso would fit so well into the Thunder is, you know, they do a lot of guard on guard screens, and Caruso is a very good screen setter for his size and for his position. So it'll be interesting to see what Daigneault kind of, you know, figures out, like, once he gets in his bag and, you know, run some plays for these guys. But I also think, to your point about his durability, you know, he was talking about, you know, not asking him to do as much. A lot of Thunder fans, myself included, like, I'm probably at the forefront, have speculated about the idea of possibly trading a Dort or a Case and, you know, for like a bigger guy, like if we was to get Lauri Markkanen or something like that. And I think, you know, that's big pie in the sky thinking in the first place. But aside from that, why I don't think that might happen is because we said about Caruso, you know, having that durability not the durability, but the flexibility of having multiple guys that can, you know, guard, you know, one through three on any given night. Caruso can rest, you know, some nights, and, you know, Kaysen can go out there. Caruso could play, you know, Kaysen plays a little bit less. Like you've got a lot of, you got a lot of versatility with that. So, yeah, I like we said, Tierney, do you have anything else you wanted to ask about, the Giddy Caruso trade?
No, I hit pretty much everything. Like back to the Giddy point, I think, like we've always said, Giddy, you know, his camp came out and said they didn't want to be coming off the bench. We knew he needed to go somewhere where he could be the primary ball handler, have the ball in his hand more, because he never was going to in Oklahoma City with Shea. So I think we were talking about a lot of different places, but Chicago is definitely one of them where he's going to get that opportunity. And he's still so young that it's like, I've said this on other podcasts too. Like if we wake up one day and he's averaging like a 29-8, like I'm going to be so happy for him. Like I think he has that potential, and there's like, you know, we loved him here, but he just wasn't a good fit. So I'm excited for him in Chicago. But I did the other thing about the 3-point shooting, kind of going off of what you said, Dylan, I was looking up, cause I guess I didn't realize it was that much of an outlier. So the 40% last year was the best he's done since his last season in LA, but he attempted like twice as many 3-point shots in Chicago. So it's definitely volume and efficiency wise by far his best. But going back to Dylan's point, we just have to have him better than Giddy consistently, because that was always the thing that like sucked in the defense. So having that threat, whether it is, you know, 40% or if it's like 35%, because I think what his lowest was 33 his first year in Chicago. So even that 33%, like that's still better than what Giddy was putting up through a season. So if we can have that somewhat consistently, that's fine. And like the other thing that Corey was saying with the injuries, that's definitely a problem. I think that's why packaging, I mean, Dort does seem like the thing you package to, you know, we've talked about Lauri Markkanen for ages, but something else. I think that's the worry. But I will say he did play pretty consistently last season, but he is getting older. He's gonna turn 30. Yeah. So he's up there. So there's a lot of things to consider. I think all of that said, I think we're what this lineup is right now is probably what we're gonna roll out for the majority of the season. I don't think we're making any other moves. So that said, I think Caruso's doesn't need to fill a huge role defensively, because we have all these other guys too that can help him out. So that is a silver lining in the fact that he has had some injury problems in the past. So it's all in all, I think it's honestly a win-win for both sides. Like I think if you look at where the Thunder are, where Chicago is, I think both teams got what they wanted.
Yeah, and I think Giddy plays like stylistically, like the idea of like Giddy and Kobe White playing off each other. Like I think that makes a lot of sense. So, and you know, Thunder fans, I think everybody's prepared for Giddy to, you know, kind of go out there and put up like, you know, 18-7-7, and like almost expecting it, just because, you know, he needed a place. Yeah. He was never going to maximize himself in OKC, and we was never going to maximize our roster with him in OKC. So it was very much like a mutually beneficial thing. And yeah, wish him the best. But kind of switching gears, talking about the vets and the old guys, let's talk about the young ones. Let's talk about the draftees. Let's talk about Nikola Topic. Now, hand up. We had a we have like a 4-hour draft stream, and whenever the Topic pick came up,
it was a bad look.
We reacted poorly, as we do. And you know, I said on the stream, like, you know, we just traded Giddy and then we get this guy back. And a lot of people were saying that I was saying that they're the same player. I understand they're not the same player. It was just more so the fit. Like we just took this guy off that doesn't fit, you know, with Shea and like with the team. And then we get this other guy that theoretically has the same fit issues. But Corey, you're one of the highest guys on Topic in the No Ceilings Collective. Tell us why we should be excited about Nikola Topic.
Well, he was the number one player on my board for a pretty good portion of the season. I think it's easy to draw parallels with Giddy, but I think they're wildly different players. Yeah, like Topic is very much like a bursty downhill guard. I know he doesn't necessarily seem it if you look at him, but like he's got a excellent first step. And so he's very much like a blow by threat, where it feels like watching Giddy, he is killing you with his pace and his size, and he's going to get to a spot and then kind of back you down and spin off of it. And he's going to play make a lot like that. Both guys obviously can manipulate a ball screen and they can make the passes to the weak side and whatnot. But like there is a much more downhill scoring threat to Topic than Giddy. And I know Giddy improved his finishing a lot, you know, over the course of his Thunder career, you know, and you started seeing the flashes of that with Australia, I think last season in the off season. But Topic was, I think he finished close to 70% in the half court. And that's like an insane number when you're looking at one of the youngest players in the draft, in a professional league. Like, and he also played like in real EuroLeague games. So this is a guy who was playing like talent that was markedly different than anybody else in the draft, pretty much. Then the other thing is, while he's not necessarily like a shooter, right? Like his shooting percentages don't necessarily look encouraging. He's shot over the last 2 years, like almost 90% from the free throw line. So this is a guy who just needs to refine his 3-point shot. And he is much more likely to pull the trigger off like against an under than, you know, Giddy was. Like he's not a hesitant shooter. His thing that he needs to work on is shooting more off the catch, like, you know, off the bounce. Like he's pretty comfortable getting into that look, even though, you know, I wouldn't exactly classify him as, you know, a marksman by any stretch, but like he's perfectly capable of it and guys have to respect him enough to guard it for the most part. So, but you're looking at Chip England as a guy who can now work with him for an entire year and figure out that aspect of it. So like, if there's one place to go where your shot isn't perfect, but you have the kind of base where obviously there's touch, obviously there's stuff to like, because you're shooting such a high mark from the free throw line. It's not like he was a 75% shooter from the free throw line. He was again, close to 90%. Like this is a guy who legitimately can shoot it from the free throw line that shows real touch. There's just a lot to like. And again, he's got big positional size. He's got a ton of skill. When he did go to Red Star, because, you know, he was very, very weird situation where he started with Mega and then got called up to Red Star. Red Star has like guys who played in the NBA on that team. So now isn't playing with the ball in his hands every single possession like he was with Mega. Now he's cutting off the ball. Now you're seeing some of that quick processing where he's, you know, maybe cutting, getting the ball, kicking it quickly as the defense collapses. He's just doing a lot of stuff. You get to see him in multiple contexts. Ultimately, I finished with him fourth on my board just because, you know, he has had a couple of knee injuries. And I usually try not to factor that too much into my evaluations because I don't know. But I know there was some like weird reporting by like Gavoni that like the European doctors didn't treat the first one right. And, you know, so there was just like enough weirdness with it that I was like, you know what? I can bank on Steph Castle's like defense and, you know, potential Jimmy Butler outcome, maybe a little bit more than Topic if I was making that pick for depending on what team it was. Mm-hmm. So I flip flopped them just because of the weird knee stuff. But like without that, like this dude was well on his way to being, you know, a potential top three pick. The fact that he dropped as far as he did, like if you're the Thunder, like you have to do it. Like he should not have dropped that far. Like he just shouldn't have. Like, there are a number of players that it's just like had no business going ahead of him, in my opinion. So just for the value itself, plus he pretty much fits into that big skilled positional size, you know, ethos that the Thunder front office lives by. It seemed like a no brainer to me.
Yeah. And, you know, as the draft ended and, you know, we kind of have a post-draft clarity, if you will, you know, kind of start to see that, you know, the value of, you know, being the main thing, you know, of him being a top five, top three guy, literally weeks before the draft, before the knee injury stuff came out. And, you know, I agree, like, you know, the Thunder had to take that shot. And, you know, guys like Jared McCain and Bob Carrington were names that are like very popular. But now that we see that, you know, we signed Isaiah Joe, we signed Aaron Wiggins, kind of knowing that, like, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You know, you're probably never going to take guys like that. So it makes sense to bring in a guy that isn't going to have to contribute this year, you know, we have experience, you know, kind of having a medical redshirt year with Chet Holmgren. So, and Presti's even said as much, like they learned a lot of lessons in that. So they feel confident and comfortable in their process for that. And, you know, talking about the shooting, like, you know, he tore his ACL and, you know, with an ACL, like after your surgery, after some recovery, you can walk, like, you know, you can move around, you can move in a straight line and everything. It's just not side to side. Like, I expect him to get in the gym and, like, you know, work on, you know, form, like standstill shooting. And like you were saying, like, that's the main thing he needs to work on when it comes to shooting. And that's really like one of the main things we would ask of him, you know, once he is healthy enough to play, you know, being able, because you touched on also, he's not a guy that's just, you have to have the ball in your hands to be effective. He's a guy who has experience playing off ball, and, you know, that's going to get him in lineups with Shea. That's going to get him in lineups with Dub. And, you know, being able to be a knockdown standstill shooter is going to help that. So I love everything you said. I do want to ask, we have a listener here, RK Anthony says, tell me about his knees with,
I was going to bring that up to you. What is the injury? How long? When will he be back?
Albert, I don't have my medical degree. it's a partial.
You are the professional doctors tear. Now.
My experience as a Bulls fan with an ACL injury means that with Derrick Rose meant that it was a life-altering, franchise-crippling decision that lasted. What year is it now? But look, medical science is significantly better at this point, and he's going to be fine. Like, he'll be back in year two.
I also think it's important to say that, you know, like, he's going to come over now. Your doctor's going to check him out. We don't know what the what the exact diagnosis was when he was over in Europe. So I'm sure he might be, who knows where he's at even in his recovery at this point.
Thunder
so,
now.
Oh, like, they do know because, now.
You know, now you have to give your medicals up until a certain.
Right. But what I mean is, like, now their doctors will take a look at him and see exactly where he's at and where he's at in his recovery and all that stuff. So I wouldn't be too freaked out about it, because also, like, something that I wanted to ask you guys was, like you said before, I think situationally it's a great situation for him to end up in, because I don't think you're looking at him and you're going to be like, oh, we need you to, you know, contribute ASAP. Mm-hmm. Right. But my thing is, who were you guys hoping to take at that spot that would have been a more intriguing option?
I don't think you're going to like my answers.
I like Jaron Holmes. I like McCain. I like Bud Carrington.
I love Bub.
Quell Ware at that spot. Like, you know, just those were probably like the big names for me.
Okay.
I think Keyshawn George was a guy that I came around on as well. So Albert,
I think one of the aspects that might have surprised you guys is that the fact that he's even there, because this is a guy who's in top three conversations the entire year until he started, like, the last, I don't know, 2 weeks, he started falling on a couple of boards, and that fall only coincided with his knee injury. This is not talent related at all in a draft that didn't have talented prospects at the top. Tovich was a clear, like, top tier talent in this draft. It literally was like, what teams can stomach having him miss an entire season? And not every, you know, franchise can sell to their fan base, like, here's this European kid that you didn't even get to watch in college, and now he's going to miss a year. Congratulations. We just won 24 games and this is your lottery pick. Like, that is not what, like, you know, the Pistons can't do that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, they can't afford that right now because they've been terrible. And probably will continue to be, you know, Long Island legend, Tobias Harris, very familiar with the beaches of Long Island.
There it is again.
But
I just want to say, like, Corey, just to piggyback off of what you're saying, like, the thing with Topic also is, like, I understand, like, the shooting concerns with him. He's going to be just fine. Like, everything that Corey said was so accurate. Like, the thing with Topic is, like, he's not afraid. He really has some, like, MFR energy to him. He's going to be just fine. And also, like just to be clear, like, this is not like an Andre Roberson type of situation. Like, the guy's going to shoot it just fine. Of course, is there, like, room to grow? Absolutely. And he ended up in the best position in the best context for him to get better at that one thing that he needs to work on, or one of the few things that he needs to work on. So once again, like, just the value of what you guys got at the spot that you guys were at, and then the fact that this guy is, like, ridiculously talented and can just walk into the paint whenever he wants, it's fantastic. I think it's a great, great steal. I had Topic at 5 on my board, so I'm right there. And it's just a great situation for him to end up in.
I think that's interesting what Corey said about like how Detroit can't afford to draft him. Like that has to be like, I almost believe it. It's like, yeah, they can't. Cause it's like, you're not going to get to see him. He's not going to be a fun quote unquote guy for next year.
They probably should have, but they couldn't.
Right. They should have, but like, I bet that's what they were thinking. Some of them like, well, this isn't going to look good, which is funny. Cause then I think to the other thing of like, I want to get back to what you're saying about the medical records. Cause I think when we were in the live stream and we were sort of processing it, it was coming out that Topić didn't even work out with the Thunder. I mean, he obviously he didn't meet with them. Right. And it was like, that almost gives a clue that they had no, it didn't even cross their mind that he was going to be falling to 12. And then as soon as he does, like, well, he's clearly the best guy on the board. We got to take him. I am curious, like, if he didn't meet with him, that also leaves it up in the air that they didn't know his medical records prior to drafting him. Is that fair to say? I know you said they have to disclose it after they're drafted.
Not anymore.
Before.
Now, before, they, so the okay. NBA, oh, this, I believe up. This was the first year.
Yes.
Okay. That players actually had to disclose all of that stuff. Like they had to participate in the combine. They had to do all of the drills, unless you had a reason why you couldn't, like for injury or whatever, like why you wouldn't be able to do the shooting star drill or whatever, right? Like Rob Dillingham wasn't allowed to be invited into the green room until he completed the drill that he didn't complete at the combine. So he had to do that at a pro day in Los Angeles just so that he can qualify to be invited to the green room. So the rules have changed in a way that I think, you know, agents prefer that they wouldn't have, but like obviously for teams, you're getting all of the information that is available to you. Like, you know, agents can no longer be like, oh, well, I want to steer my client away from Detroit, so I'm not going to give them the medical information. And now they have to guess. Now all of those teams have to give it to you, I think, up until like a certain projection in the draft.
I see.
So okay. Yeah. So there's different rules now, you know, so I guess wherever you're projected there, like if you're the number one pick, you only have to share with the top 10 teams. So like SAR would only have to share with the top 10 teams. So like it's within a reasonable range, but like the Thunder under most likely would have that information available to them.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Cause we pulled up the comment about the knees. I think he clarified in the chat, he was wanting to know what happened with the first injury. I don't know personally. I don't know if you guys have was any that the info same on knee? That. I guess he re-aggravated it at some
yeah,
point.
Yeah, the first one wasn't like, it was like, oh, he's going to be out and he'll return. And then I guess it was like, oh, they don't know if they rushed him back or not because, or if he would have needed like some kind of small procedure, but in Europe they have a different style, and I think that's what the report with Gavoni was like. In Europe they prefer to just like let you rest, and maybe where in the States it would have been a different kind of rehab process.
Okay.
But ultimately obviously the Thunder felt comfortable enough with the information that they had, like yeah, like even if let's say he was a, you know, ranked 2-6 by the NBA teams, he would have to share his information with teams through the top 15, of which the Thunder were. So the Thunder had his whatever information was available.
Okay.
It's good to know. Gotcha. I did not know that.
All right. Let's move on from Topić. We talked a lot about Topić, and I know Corey specifically is excited to talk about this guy, the guy that we traded up back into the first round to talk, you know, to get, I think it was pick 26, if I'm not mistaken, Dylan Jones, which I mean, might I just say he is an awesome first name. Spells it wrong, but awesome first
spells
name.
Spells it completely wrong. You're right.
I mean, Corey, you know, you was high on Dylan Jones last year. I think on this pod this year, you actually said that in the, you know, fun draft combination, you had Dylan Jones as your second selection. I know you talked about him second round last year. Like, how you feel about Jones' fit at OKC?
Man, I'm so happy. I'm so happy. I've gotten to know Dylan pretty well over the last couple of years. You know, I think, you know, I don't know how many Thunder fans are fully familiar, like, with his story on how he got to where he is. I know Albert and I saw him at the Nike Hoop Summit play with the Portland Generals scrimmage team. So at the Nike Hoop Summit, where all of the top high school players in the nation and then internationally, they spend a week in Portland, they practice, and then they gear up for a game where it's USA versus the world at the end of the week that's played at the Moda Center in Portland. Before that game, each team plays a scrimmage against the Portland Generals, which traditionally was made up of like, you know, a random college players in an older group of guys, right? This year they changed it because I guess there's some kind of weird rule thing and it was like another high school team of pretty good talent too, but it was college guys. So last year, playing against this class in particular, Dylan came in as a member of that Portland General scrimmage team. And this is a way that these guys can get in front of what is a room of just NBA executive scouts and then clowns like Albert and I, you know, like media members. And it's at the Portland Trailblazers facility that, or at least the world practice team scrimmaged against them. Yeah. And this game ended on like a terrible call by the ref, because I think they wanted to end it, but it was like the closest that the Generals team had ever gotten to winning. And it was because Dylan Jones absolutely was cooking these kids. Then he played against the US team. He tells me that they got blown out because it was a high school court and they can get in transition quicker. It is what it is. But he made an impression in that game. So then, you know, I got to watch him work out, train for the draft that same year last year. And I was in the gym with him when the first announcement for the G League Elite camp came out. His name was not on the list. So this was a guy who made a good impression, killed it, and then didn't get invited to the initial group of the G League Elite camp. And he was clearly upset by that, because this is a guy who's very confident in his abilities. And he went in that gym, and I'm not sure if he missed like a shot. Like, you can literally go look at videos on our YouTube channel of him just like draining jumper after jumper after jumper after jumper. He was so focused and locked in that it was crazy. Ultimately, you know, his agency got him into that G League Elite camp, killed it at the Elite camp, was the best player there, got called up to the combine, played in the scrimmages, and was one of the best players in the combine. He could have stayed in the draft last year, and he, in all likelihood, would have gotten drafted, albeit probably a second rounder. He bet on himself, mm-hmm. and he decided to go back to school. I remember after that day that he didn't get invited to the Elite camp, after the practice, or, you know, the skills portion of the workout, a lot of the prospects went to the actual like gym and were doing weights. And I was talking to them, and, you know, they knew Dylan was upset because they had all gotten invited to the various events. And they were like, Dylan's got to leave Weber State. Like, where is Weber State? What is Weber State? You know, like, he's got to go transfer to a school that people have heard of. You know, like, they couldn't even pronounce it, some of them. You know, they were calling it a different name. So he decided to be loyal, to stay, you know, improve on some of the aspects of his game. A big thing, what he told me, I'm not sure if I don't think I left. I probably didn't leave it in the film session I did with him this year. But he told me that, like, he didn't even hear the feedback that he got last year really about his shot. Like, teams weren't worried about his shooting. They told him he needs to get in better shape. He got in better shape this year. You know, he improved. If you look at his combine, athletic testing, all of that, a lot of improvements. He still has work to be done to get in even better shape, but like, that's something that he did a good job improving this year. And clearly, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, because, you know, like, go through our YouTube comments of, we had a short of Albert and I doing a mock draft about me taking him for the Knicks at that same pick. And people are like, this is a terrible pick, right? But like, because he was getting mocked in the late 50s, you know, 40s, they identify who they identify. They like who they like, you know, they choose who they believe fit in their system. And they went and they traded for this guy. So to me, this was an amazing story, seeing where he started playing for that Portland Generals team, and then to see where he is now. he's an awesome dude. He loves basketball so much. I would text him and be like, yo, what's the scout on this guy? And he'd send me like a 4-minute voice note of a scouting report on some player that he played against that I wanted to know about. He's got like the best combination of basketball IQ, self-confidence, and self-awareness of like any prospect that I met. Like when I talk to him, he's not comparing himself to SGA. He's saying that he can play a role that like Jaime Jaquez played or Grant Williams, like guys like that, where he knows that he can play, you know, early in his career as a role player because he knows what he brings to the court. So I know that the Thunder, one of their big philosophies is like you draft a person. And, you know, I know that how much that they believe in the core of like forming a relationship between the community, draft, you know, that person and their personality, bringing them to, you know, the site of, you know, the bombing right before and making them understand the culture of the city and the fabric of it. And like, he is the perfect person to slide in here and outplay what everybody thought of him. He's got a major chip on his shoulder. And he's somebody who's going to work at it with the right attitude and mindset to do it. So I honestly, I couldn't be more thrilled for him that this is the place that he landed, because stylistically, it's an absolutely perfect fit. And I know that rebounding has been a big Thunder talking point. This is a dude who, despite being 6'5", he does have a nearly 7-foot wingspan. It's averaged over 10 rebounds a game for like 3 years straight. So, you know, on top of the dribble pass shoot stuff, he can rebound the hell out of the ball. I'm so psyched that I, you know, that he's on the Thunder now. Like, I truly am.
On draft night, I tweeted out the Thunder, you know, needed to address rebounding. And instead of taking a center, Sam Presti went and grabbed Dylan Jones. And I was like, he's an absolute madman. And I love it so much. Right. And it was a joke. And I got a lot of weird comments about it. But the thing with Dylan Jones, like Corey said, he's an unbelievably productive guy. And I know some people look at his stats and be like, oh, did he shoot 32% from three? Well, something that's really important, and he's already said it right in the introductory press conference that he had with the Thunder, was like, I was the guy. Like, he had a usage rate of like 29-30% last year, right? He was the main dude at Weber State. And now coming into the Thunder, he will absolutely not be that guy. And as Corey mentioned, is very self-aware of the role that he's going to be able to play. And like he said at his press conference, like, I was the guy, and now I know what the guy actually needs around him, right? And so, you know, that type of awareness, that type of experience that he had playing at Weber State, I think is just invaluable stuff for him. And the fact that he's going to be able to leverage all of his strengths and now be a supporting type of player makes him really enticing. And truth be told, I think his NBA career is going to look very different from his college career. And I mean that in the best way possible, where he'll probably never, ever be the main guy, but he's going to carve out for himself an excellent supporting role. Corey mentioned some names like a Grant Williams type of guy, Jaime Jaquez. Mm-hmm. He could easily be a Josh Hart type of guy as well. He'll bring you a ton of rebounding, as we saw. I think he was at like 9.8 per game last year. I want to look at, yeah, he's at 9.8 rebounds per game. Yeah.
Yeah. Unbelievable. In the two previous years before that, he was over 10.
Exactly. Yeah, we looked this up on another pod, and it was averaging a double-double. It's crazy.
And he was the main guy, right? That's unbelievable. Yeah. So crazy. I think, you know, keeping all that in mind, just situationally, once again, I think this is the best fit for him. And just to see him grow and develop into this new type of player, I think is going to be really interesting, and honestly going to be kind of hard to like gauge or even like project what that's going to look like. But all you need to know is the guy has been there. He's been ridiculously productive and is really, really smart. So he's going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been a Dildro enthusiast ever since Friday, because I do want to get into our chat has been talking about nicknames for him. We'll get into that in a second, but I do want to say, like, ever since Stephen Dolan was on our Friday podcast, and he had some insight on him too, and we were looking at the stats, and then now with these kind of like off the court, you know, insights, if you send a 4-minute video note about anything, that means you're passionate as hell about it. So that's awesome to see, like, just all these little things that add up to he is just like, he's gonna fit this like Thunder culture perfectly. I'm so excited for what he's gonna bring this season. I do want to throw out the name, and you know, we can maybe workshop this, and Dylan, if you have other Dylan Jones basketball things, we can get to that in a second. But I just want to throw them out. We got Diljo, we got the big Dill, we got do it all Dylan. I mean, all three of those names are fire. I don't know what you guys prefer. I'm leaning Diljo, but I could go any direction with that.
I think Ill Dill is another one that
that's really good.
Ill that's Dill. A great one.
Yeah.
God, so many good options.
I mean, you know, I grew up on Blink 182. I unfortunately wearing a shirt as I say this, but Diljo is just a funny one for how I grew up as a skateboarding kid from the suburbs. But but yeah, I mean, all pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, none of them are Santa, but you know, we can move past that. My thing with Dylan Jones, I mean, I don't have much to add. I mean, you guys pretty much covered it. But Clemente Almanza, he released an article where he talked to the Weber State coach, and some of the things that like was really impressive to me, like you touched on, Corey, like he's an extremely intelligent guy, 4.0 GPA in college, like super smart, high IQ, hard worker. Great character, and you know, believes in himself, like bet on himself, and like that's half of the battle half the time. And I mean, this like connection with OKC went back to last year, according to his coach. OKC wanted to draft him in the second round last year, and you know, he decided to go back. Like you said, he bet on himself and he became a first round pick. And you know, why does it matter? You know, he went to the same team. Well, I mean, that matters money wise, like financially wise. You know, the contract difference from second round to first round is exponential. And so, I mean, yeah, betting on yourself, you know, getting that bag. And I think that he's in position to where he can legitimately, you know, carve himself out a role in this rotation this year. Like I fully believe like he's gonna kind of be in like that eight, ninth man role. And depending on how he does, like, you know, shooting him like a lower volume, you know, less usage on top of that. Like if he's able to kind of thrive in that role on top of everything else he does, like somebody else said, do it all Dylan, like, you know, he's doing it all stuff in the stat sheet. He could absolutely carve out his role and, you know, kind of climb up the rotation. So I'm very excited for him as well. You know, he was kind of my saving grace. I was still kind of down about the Topish thing. You know, post-draft clarity hadn't kicked in, and I was like, oh, we traded up. Who are we getting? And I was all but convinced we was about to get Kyle Filipowski, and I was going to like, just like crater once again. And then we took Dylan Jones. I was like, all right, let's go. I'm happy again. So, yeah.
And I will say, he wanted to be in Oklahoma City.
Mm, that's nice.
We love that. You know, quick story. When we were talking off air, I guess when we were done with the film session, you know, we were just talking about teams that, you know, maybe he was interested in that he thought would fit or that he had worked out for, whatever. And he was like, you know, Oklahoma City's perfect, but they only have that lottery pick. And I was like, well, if they got a lot of picks, you know, who knows? Maybe they make a trade. And then lo and behold, they make a trade, right? So like, this is a team that he also had on his mind as a perfect fit for what he brings. So it's a perfect synergy, I think, between player and organization. And, you know, he's not going to be somebody who's a saving grace, right? Like I wouldn't even expect him to be a big part of a rotation that is so deep, just traded for a bunch of veterans, still has, you know, shout out Jang Gang, developing and hopefully is going to have a breakout year. Like there is so much, there's so many players that already are soaking up minutes, but like, it's just a guy who maybe if you need him in spot minutes at certain points could be ready and then, you know, could develop and can, you know, get in better shape, hone that 3-point shot. And then eventually even potentially be like a large part of that lineup. I mean, mm-hmm. it's exciting because the Thunder have this really awesome situation that they're in where like, yeah, it's cool. You could take the young 18-year-old in the lottery and take that chance and let him rest. But you can also take the guy who's like a little older and fits your timeline and, because there, you guys have so many assets, it must be nice. So, you know, like it's awesome that you can identify different kinds of targets and not just be like, oh, got to bet on upside, even though like how many upside plays truly are there at pick 25 or 26, you know, like there's not a ton. Right.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be, I think he's going to be a fan favorite, even if he's not a guy who's like coming in and playing 30 minutes on day one or anything.
Well, I'm excited to see him cook in the summer league because Presti said in the in the press conference over the weekend, Kaysen's not going to participate in summer league. So like, there's a lead ball handler role to be had there. And like, I'd like to see Dylan get some of those reps. So very excited for Dylan Jones. We went long on Dylan Jones and Topish. Do you guys have time to talk AJ Mitchell real quick?
Let's do it.
Quick. Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so this is a guy, you know, you talk about having assets and, you know, being able to move into the draft. We flip Wendy Waters for 52, flip 52 for pick 40, and then we trade up to 38. This is a guy that Presti clearly identified and did everything he could to trade up to get him. AJ Mitchell. I mean, Albert, I kind of like Corey Cook on that, on Dylan Jones. Like, how did you feel about AJ Mitchell as a prospect, and how you feel about him on Thunder?
I mean, before I talk about AJ Mitchell, just a lot of Thunder Knicks trades. Just
yeah,
tons.
Incredible amounts.
So want to throw that out there. Don't know what's going on with that, but no, glad we can help. AJ Mitchell, really interesting guy from Belgium, right? 6'4", UCSB, a guy who our own Tyler Rucker wrote a piece on him. I think he called him like gear shifter or drifter or not grifter. It was something like that, but something like that. But the thing with AJ Mitchell that you guys will like is, you know, he's a mature player, pick and roll ball handler, can change gears really well, good in the mid range, really patient coming off of ball screens, knows how to, you know, let things develop and make, you know, really good decisions off of them. I just think, you know, as Corey just mentioned, as you guys have already been talking about, you guys are in a great position. And I think because you have such a stacked roster, you can take a chance on a guy like an AJ Mitchell, who I wouldn't say he's like a lottery ticket or anything like that. Like, you kind of know what he's getting. He was around 40% from three on super low volume. I think he was like at 2 per game, really good free throw shooter. Looks like he was at 85.8. Yeah. Right at 86. So the thing with Mitchell, but you know, a lot of the damage he did was in the mid-range. So interesting mid-range guard who can get into the lane, make decisions, hit some pull-ups, you know. So a fun guy, but a guy that I don't know would be looked upon as like an instant impact guy once again because of the roster that you guys have. But at 38, why not take a flyer on a guy like AJ Mitchell, who is interesting, especially on the offensive end of the ball.
Yeah, and Corey, I think you said in the draft stream that you had a first-round grade on AJ Mitchell.
It's possible. It's certainly close. If I did, I don't.
He said a lot in that stream, so that's fair.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't even remember. I'm on 2025 already, so
that's fair.
But yeah, I mean, he's a really, really good talent. You know, like, this is a guy who is a lead at creating looks for himself and at efficiency, right? Like, not just like creating a look and chucking it up and, you know, forcing bad shots. Like, he was actually putting the ball in the hole at an efficient rate, unassisted. So, you know, for his self creation ability, if you want to talk about, you know, big buzzword advantage creation, even if I don't think a lot of the people who use it understand what that term means, that's another story. He's certainly great at that. Like, Albert and I love lefties. His three-point shot is improving, but that is something that he needs to, you know, continue to get better at shooting at volume. You know, to me, it's like, hey, could you, like, what if you got like a Killian Hayes type player at pick 38 instead of 7? You'd probably be pretty psyched, you know, like, and this is a guy who I think is a better scorer and maybe still needs to prove that he can pass in the same way, even though I think at the combine when he played, he showed a little bit more point guard skills, because I'm sure that's kind of what, you know, teams asked of him. I think, you know, he was the entire offense for his team. Didn't exactly lead to wins, but when he wasn't there, it got way, way worse. So I wouldn't say he's a guy who can carry an offense, because he didn't play in a great league and it didn't exactly lead to wins. But at the same time, if you're just using him as a change of gears type of prospect down the line, he can provide value, not being the guy, but a guy who can fill in spurts as a guy. And you need that off the bench a lot of times. So I think he's interesting for sure. You know, I'm sure that a lot of the Thunder's young players are going to be spending time with the defending champion Blue, you know, sure. Right? Like, so, but he's definitely talented, and like, he's a guy that at least has bankable skills. So if you can, you know, get a guy in the second round who has like some kind of skills, pretty good bet to take, you know, like obviously because of the way that the Thunder draft and this dribble pass shoot, they like their skilled guards. It's very crowded for him, especially after you get a guy like Caruso, right? Like at least with Dylan Jones, there's a little bit of a difference because he's taller, stronger, longer. Maybe you can play him up as like a four in scenarios, right? Like you would like a J-Dub. The AJ Mitchell's a little bit more pigeonholed into the backcourt, which obviously you're hoping SGA is playing the vast majority of, you know, those minutes. So there's a I think a little bit more of a time restraint on him given the roster construction right now. But at the end of the day, as an asset and as a talent, he's definitely a talented guy.
All right. Absolutely. Yeah. I
love it.
Yeah, as the second round dwindled, you know, a lot of those like buzz names were coming off the board. And it's like, it was him and Cam Christie were like the last ones that I was like super excited for at that point. And I was glad we got one of them. So, yeah, that's the big thing. Last thing before we go, do you guys feel like these moves the Thunder have made in this offseason so far have made them contenders? And if not just contenders, do you think that they are favorites?
They're definitely contenders. I mean, that's not even a thought in my mind. I don't know what the odds are for the Thunder to win the championship right now. And in New York, FanDuel kind of blows as far as what they offer for betting. I had a lot more fun gambling on basketball illegally with my offshore account that I had to accept in Bitcoin. But with that said, shout out to Underdog Fantasy. I don't know why I would say that out loud. But I would, I might gamble, I might bet on them. Yeah,
plus. They are plus 800 at the moment.
Right? Yeah, like that's the 76ers. Like I would probably put money on for plus 800 because they just have to come out of the West to, you know, like, and I mean, obviously they have to win, but like,
their
big path is like the West because you're probably looking at them going, all right, well, they got to beat the Celtics, right? They're pretty perfectly constructed to potentially be able to do that given their roster. But I look at the West, like Denver got worse, right? Like the Clippers got worse. Dallas,
they get Clay.
I don't know if they got better or not. Like they definitely got shooting. Who knows? Like they could have, I don't know how much, I don't know how much of a ceiling raiser Clay could be, but at the same time, they did go to the finals. They're going to be a formidable opponent, obviously. Phoenix, I mean,
I think the Timberwolves are the only team that's still a little bit scary. They didn't really do much, but like Anthony Edwards, you think is going to get better, and they didn't really.
Rob Dillingham, I think, is going to be able to come in and offer something.
Yeah, Dill's going to be pretty good there.
Yeah, so like, I don't know. Like, the Lakers drafted Bronny. You know, I mean, Dalton Connect is watch out. You know, Dalton's a real piece that I think could help them, but you know, I just don't look at the West as. Outside of probably Minnesota, and obviously Jokic is Jokic, like Luka's Luka, but the Thunder did things to get tangibly better in a way that no other team in the West did. And then, you know, in the East, I mean, I think the Knicks are title contenders with or without Hartenstein right now. Boston, obviously, is, you know, they are going to be there trying to repeat, but they didn't, they've just kind of run it back. They really haven't done anything to, make themselves better other than get experience, right? I don't know. Indiana signed James Wiseman today. So
huge. Big moves.
I just don't know. I think that their path is it's pretty open for them to try to win this. And then they still have all of these assets. And now if you look at it, like everyone was killing them for not making the move, the trade last year, right? Like they were literally a what centimeters potentially away from going to from winning game seven, right? Like that little ticky tack foul. They could have won the title this year potentially. I think they would have matched up a lot better with Boston, even though Boston, you know, kudos to them. They probably still would have won given, you know, how they played and their experience and whatnot. But the Thunder improved more than any other team in like the most tangible way by addressing their weaknesses. And now this is a year where you can go, all right, let's put some of the assets in the table. Like Dort on that contract, like that's you need that money to get a guy, and you still have all of the tradable assets. So like, this seems like the year, if you're going to push it in at some point, that this could possibly be it, but you don't need to at the same time. So like, yeah, you can wait and be patient for the right move and not overpay if you don't have to. So I'm probably going to put money on them to win the title. Just, I think plus 800 is pretty solid odds for a team that I think could actually win it.
I think something we said earlier when we talked about Hartenstein, we talked about Caruso. Corey said it, not the flashiest moves, right? But really damn good moves. Like really, really important, right? Like Hartenstein's such a good player. Like I'm telling you, like I get it, right? Being a Knicks fan, the fact that we brought him, you know, Mikal Bridges, we probably have the best team I've seen in my lifetime as a Knicks fan. And yet it still hurts that we lost him because he was such an integral part of our team's success. And it made me sad to see him go. And now like we have to actually go and find a replacement for him. And he's going to be, Corey said it before, I think Thunder fans are going to be really, really surprised by how good he is. He's not just good. He's really, really good. And I think that's going to be huge. Caruso, the young roster, you guys brought Aaron Wiggins back, got Isaiah Joe, Dort, you know, like Corey said, with the draft assets that you guys have and the, you know, the good sized contracts on your roster makes a trade really possible for the future. So, no, I'm right there with you guys. I think the Thunder got really damn good. I'm sad about iHeart leaving, but good luck to you guys.
I definitely appreciate it. And can't discount the fact we got Olympic Shea after the season too. So it's gonna be a good time. But Albert, Corey, you guys have been most gracious with your time. We went way over what we planned to, but clearly you guys are passionate about the things we was talking about. So I wanted to let you cook. Just real quick, you know, plug anything you guys want to plug, what you guys are working on. Obviously, you know, taking a little bit of hiatus, a little bit of break in between the draft classes, but I'm sure you guys are jumping right back in here coming up. So, Corey, I'll give the floor to you first, man.
Yeah, well, I know Albert and I are going to be continuing our film sessions with prospects. There are a few that we have banked. We got Alex Tui. We have Kwame Evans, Darren Harris, who's headed to Duke. We'll have some other ones that we'll be recording throughout the summer before the season starts. I'm getting back in the saddle doing my video scouting reports. So I'll have a Cooper Flagg video out either by the weekend or next week. Nice. We still have some writing that's going to be going up throughout the summer at NoCeilingsNBA.com. And we'll still be potting. And, you know, Albert and I do our you know, preseason, you know, scouting report podcasts as well throughout the summer. And then, you know, we have all the other shows on the No Ceilings Network that'll be doing their thing too. So, I mean, we're still going to be churning out content. This draft is wildly different than the draft that we just saw as far as top tier talent goes. So it's definitely going to be a good time if you're a bad team to tune in to NoCeilingsNBA.com. And because there are so many good players, the depth is going to be great as well. So you should also tune into NoCeilingsNBA.com if you have a pick anywhere else in the draft, because you can get a real steal depth wise too. And we don't even know who are going to be the breakout surprise players next year. So, you know, you can just find us NoCeilingsNBA.com. Find me at Corey Tulliba.
Yeah. Like Corey said, I think with this being kind of the off season, but not off season, now we can kind of take a step away from the 24 class, look forward to the 25 class, but also look at, you know, some different things that we're going to try doing. And so we've got a lot of big meetings coming up as a team and planning ahead for new things that we want to do. So yeah, just lock in. It's going to be a really fun summer, obviously with the Olympics going on and summer league and all that stuff. But yeah, I've honestly, since the draft, I've been taking a little bit of a break, been trying to detox a little bit from the 24 class, but really excited for the 25 class.
Hey, that's awesome. And like I say every time, man, like y'all just keep killing it. Like the growth has been insane. The work that you guys put into this class to make people kind of see the value in it, it can't be overstated. The work you guys did, you all were awesome. And we'll definitely be having all you guys back next year, because even as the Thunder are title contenders, we have six potential first round picks in this year's draft. So,
and Thunder fans better be listening.
Yeah, I don't expect us to keep all of those, but yeah, I mean, it's it's a very deep draft class, and we will probably be adding a couple pieces potentially. So always a pleasure having you guys on. Always a pleasure talking to you guys. And, you know, maybe next time, you know, the season will get going and we can potentially talk about Jackson Robinson in the draft. You know, he's about the only UK guy to see getting drafted. So let me have that. And, yeah. But, Tierney, any North Carolina guys that you're excited for?
No idea. I haven't even thought about that yet. Well, I'll have to do the research and come back.
That's fair. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and end the pod. Listeners, appreciate you guys tuning in. The chat was lively. A lot of it was just talking about Dylan Jones' nicknames, but still, nonetheless, very lively. It was a good time. If you guys are in the chat, please like the video, comment down below, subscribe to our channel, hit the notification bell so you don't miss out when we go live, because we have awesome guests like Corey and Albert on here. So I hope everybody has a great night. God bless. Hoop when you can. And as always, thunder up!
Thunder up! Thunder up.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.